Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
Oh, let's get to it, everybody. Happy Friday. I'm joined by Charles Crazy Horse Bennett. What's up, Crazy Horse?
Hey, Bennett, Chael. Chael, listen. You have to quit doing that.
Tell me.
It's felony Charles Bennett. Felony Charles Bennett. Y'all, get that shit right. Charles Bennett. How you doing?
Wait a minute, man. We got a new nickname. That's what you're telling me.
Yes, it's been the same nickname since I met you when I first met you at Conor McGregor.
Yep, with Jake Shields in the bar in Las Vegas. I remember.
It's been felony ever since.
All right, felony Charles Horse Bennett. Let's get to it. How are you?
Man, Chael, I'm going to f*** you up. That's how I am.
All right. Well, good morning to you too, my friend. All right, where in the world are you? I was following you on social media, Twitter specifically. I thought you were in Hawaii, but you're not, right? You're at home and you're in Florida?
Yeah, I'm back in Florida. I was in Hawaii. Hawaii treated me awesome. I didn't get no Hawaiian poon yet, but I was there.
All right.
Nice. Hey, so I'm just curious, Chael.
A question. Surprised. All right, go ahead. No, take over the show. Go ahead. What's up?
No. Well, see, here's the thing, Chael. You know, there's a lot of crazy out there, right? Crazy. Deranged motherfuckers. So, you know, when I got this message, because I didn't know what the blue check meant. So I had to ask around. I said, man, you know, some dude named Chael Sonnen, you guys know him? And my homeboy, well, he's like my brother. His name is AJ. He's like, Chael Sonnen. So he looked at it, at the message, and he was like, "Real Chael Sonnen, you see that blue check right there? I mean, that's the real one." So I was like, oh, shit. So, you know, I have to go on Instagram and tell the world that Chael Sonnen's in my inbox.
No,
I should feel special.
Now, felony, you tell me there's a lot of crazy people out there. What's a crazy person for you? I mean, I would imagine we'd have a little bit of a different definition. What kind of people are you dealing with where you look at them and go, man, that guy's got some problems?
Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen is one of them.
All right.
Hey, listen, Chael. So, because you know I was rooting for you on your fight against Candy Lady, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Big and, you know me. You know what I mean? If I would have had the money, I would have threw out there and been in your corner. Just because he was in, you know what I'm saying, the other guy's corner when I set a rare record. But that's neither here nor there. He's talking about it. I am. yeah, man. So I realized then, Chael, that, yeah, you're not all that up there neither, man. I'm a big Chael Sonnen fan. Chael talks shit to everyone, and it doesn't matter. Get his ass kicked, he's still talking shit. That's awesome.
That's the way it goes. That's the life.
You ain't kill me. We fight again. There's 90% chance I'm going to get that ass. That's how I look at it.
So what did happen with your fight with Vandalay? I mean, you guys have had some heat, but here's what I heard from people that were there. You got a fight with Vandalay. You knocked him out before he had to walk through the curtain and go fight in Pride, and it was videotaped, and he made people destroy the tape. Do I have that story 100%?
That is 100% correct. Well, actually, they didn't destroy the tape. I don't know what happened to the tape. All I know is me and Cristiano, we was, you know, we got into it in the locker room, and he choked me. I don't know. I don't remember how all that went down. But all I remember was when I was coming to, Candy Lay was kicking my leg. He was kicking my foot, actually. So I jumped up, and I was like, I ain't afraid of you, and I hit him. And within that 2 to 3 seconds, everyone was surprised, including myself. I've told this story a million times. It never gets old, and it never changes. But, yeah, so I hit that and dropped it. Like, so I was surprised at my work as well as everyone else. And the one that was in the room, my color, is the one that seen me run to that door and try to take off the hunt. What's his name?
I do not know.
The black guy. The black guy that's always with Candy Lay. He, wherever Candy Lay fights, they're with him. I think his name is, I don't know his name.
Okay. I'm not certain either. That's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get some clarity on the story. I've heard the story, but I've never heard it from you. In fact, I've never heard you tell it. I trust that you have, but I haven't got it. This is my first time, and I'm actually quite into it. So this all takes place in a locker room, right? You guys are in a locker room, like a warm-up area.
Yeah. I don't know why Pride put us in the same locker room, knowing that I was fighting the guy that they were training. So that's how that happened.
So, Charles, that can't be a good situation. You're going about 155 pounds. You're surrounded by shootbox that had a real gang mentality at that time. I mean, that can't be great to hit the leader, drop him, and then, I mean, you got to figure out how to get to the door, right? You must know you're in trouble at that point. You must know this is not a safe environment.
Yeah, that's how it went. That's exactly how it went, Chell. As I roll my, Chell, is it all right if I roll the blood and smoke right now? Is that cool?
You know, I don't know that I can stop you as I sit in Portland and you're in Florida. So I'm going to have to go with yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, that's what I'm doing right now. So yeah, that's exactly what happened. When you watch the video, it shows that Cristiano is choking me out. It shows that. It shows that clear as day. But what it doesn't show is when old Felony gets up and gives Candy Lay a, And, after I got out the room, because, in Japan, right, doors, you can't force those doors open. So I'm, like, stuck at the door trying to get out. That guy's name was Rafi.
Now, wait.
Raphael?
Yeah, are you talking about Coach? Are you talking about Coach Cordero?
Yeah, the black guy.
Your words, not mine. I'm trying to learn right now. I'm not saying anything. I'm listening. But you may be talking about Coach Cordero.
He seen me break for it. Seen me. I was scared. But to the point where I can't wait to get out on the other side and talk shit about knocking out Candy Lay.
Well, I bet, particularly at that time. I mean, that was the scariest dude in the world, without question. At that time, I remember when that story came out, it had every bit the intrigue of, say, the Lee Murray-Tito situation. You remember that, right, where Tito had the dress shoes on and blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, but it had every bit the mystique around it that did. But we never got to see it. And I knew from a guy that was there, Brian Foster. And I think he might have even been the one that videoed it. And they're like, give us the tape. And Foster's a rough guy, but he's surrounded. And he's like, here you go. I mean, it was something like, who it was.
This is how it was. Okay. You know, in Pride in Japan, I got a million and one losses. I don't know how I get a million and one losses, but I got a million and one losses and 101 wins by knockout. We're just going to say it like that there. It doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck. But at the same time, Japan loves me. So every time I come over there, I'm different. I'm the that stands out from everybody else. Well, they always have a camera on me when I go fight in Japan. The day of the fight, there's always a camera because I want to get into acting. So I'm always acting. I'm always making people laugh because I want to get into acting. So yeah, this day here, they had the camera on me and. It had to be like six Japanese in a room that was filming this shit, And I mean, you can plainly see that when you see the tape on YouTube, the edited version, you see all the Chinese people, Japanese people that's in there. But the Brazilians come in massive quantities. They come in a group. When I say a group, it's about 20 of them every time. But, so with that being said, they took the tape from him because they're such a little guy compared to the Brazilians and chopped it, edited it, and made it look like, hey, well, all that happened was is I got choked out. And at the time, they was telling me, hey, you can't really say anything about knocking out Candy Lay because Pride's trying to get into Vegas at the time, and if the United States knows that Vanderlei Candelay fought and I just knock him out, then it's going to be some trouble.
With the commissions, so yeah, why, that would be.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why they didn't, that's why it was out there. I mean, it was all in the Japanese newspaper and everything that I did it. But I can't read Japanese, but someone that could relayed the message to me. But, yeah, it was the highlight. That was the best fight of my life, you know?
Right there in the locker room.
That's what. Mm-hmm.
All right, so tell me this, because you are over in Japan. You're right. I mean, I've watched it. I've watched your fights. I've watched when you win. I watched that place go crazy. I watched you go crazy and play to the crowd. Do you have anything coming up? What's going on? Let's start with this. Aside from you have something coming up, what is going on in Japan? For example, they had this thing called Ryzen. And great events, but I haven't even seen an advertisement for Ryzen in a meaningful period of time. Is that still going on? Is that organization still up and running?
Yes, Ryzen is still up and running. However, I'm not affiliated with Ryzen anymore, considering that, you know, the last time I was supposed to fight in Japan was for the New Year's Super Bowl thing that they have.
Right.
And I couldn't make it over there because I didn't get cleared by somebody. So I didn't make it to Japan, so I don't know what's going on over there. And I just, you know, man, they killed me. So the way it is, Chael, is y'all send me to prison. They make me sit in prison for 3 years. I get out of prison just the way I went in, broke, homeless, nothing to do, you know. And I get out when they could have offered me the classes and a job and all this, but they wouldn't. So, yeah. Now it's like I'm out here and Japan doesn't want me because of my criminal record. Like, damn. The UFC doesn't want to sign me because of my criminal record. Like, damn. Bellator doesn't want to sign me because of my criminal record. And it's like, hold on, man. Come on, guys. This is my life. This is what I do. I fight. This is all I know. So you guys want to condemn me on the streets when society says I have paid my due, you know?
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point.
Yeah. So, therefore, yeah. Well, I was reading something in the paper the other day, well, on the internet, because I can read. I'm so proud of me. But, you know, and it was saying, yeah, well, the UFC like to give these people chances that come from broken down homes. My story is the best story ever. You know why? Because I got 11 brothers and sisters. My mom did crack all our lives. She's HIV positive right now. Still out here struggling. I'm struggling with the life of life. You know what I'm saying? A black man trying to make something out of himself while he can, while he's still alive, while he's still healthy. But certain people don't want to give me that chance because they can't control me or they feel that I'm very outspoken, but I have a right to be. You know what I'm saying? I owe no one anything. I work for everything.
Now, Charles, you mentioned that you did 3 years. What got you 3 years?
In prison. Okay, this is how the story goes, right? So I was staying with my, my granddad passed, and the house became that I was staying at heirs property, which means if you don't have a place to stay, you can go stay at this house because it's a family house. Well, I was staying there with my two brothers and my brother's girlfriend. Well, this one night, one of my brothers ended up beefing with another brother because he was beating on his girlfriend. So me being the older brother, I'm like, hey, man, this all that, you know, let's smoke. So with that being said, so we all three of us stand in this house, four of us, right? So we go to beefing. You know what I'm saying? And considering that these two grew up with each other, I'm the black sheep out of all the kids because I didn't grow up with any of my brothers and sisters. I was just floating around from home to home, foster care, you know, just, you know, trying to survive in these mean streets. But, excuse me while I hit my blood. Yeah, but, so with that being said, I'm staying at this house, and we're refuting. And my uncle calls me, and he's like, hey, you're going to have to leave the house. And I tell him, I'm not going anywhere. Where am I going to go? I don't have no place to go. You know what I'm saying? Would you want to sleep on the street? So this, my uncle get to the point where he's like aggressive with me. So I tell him, because I stay in Ocala, and at the time he was staying in Tampa. So I tell him, well, Uncle Dempsey, if you come up here and you put your hands on me, we're going to fight. I'm going to beat you up. You know, uncle or not, I'm going to beat you up if you put your hands on me. So we come to the agreement where, okay, Charles, well, you can stay in the house. Just don't say nothing to anyone. I said, okay, cool. I can do that. So as I'm there, you know, I'm staying in this house, and every time I turn around, this chick putting her hands on me. My brother's girlfriend's putting her hands on me, or they're breaking my shit. So this one night, I got my daughter over there. And to make a long story short, the last time the chick put her hands on me, right, I took her up through there. I gave her a what for and a who did it. And I didn't give a what the outcome or the consequence was, because I was at that point in my life where it was like, hey, I don't f*** with y'all. I don't do shit to y'all, and y'all constantly f*** with me. So somebody's going to have to get this. So with that being said, it came to that point, and that day I had my daughter with me. So if I didn't have my daughter with me, I would have beat up the whole house. I would have beat up both of my brothers and my brother's girlfriend, and then make it look like I was the victim. But I had my daughter with me, so I couldn't do it. So me and my daughter was running across the street. We hear police and shit and all this shit. And my daughter, she's gangster. But, yeah, at the time she was 8. So that's how that happened.
So it was assault. It was assault. Is that the official charge?
Battery. Battery prior offense.
Well, that's not great, but I appreciate you answering the question. Now we know.
Here's the thing, though, man. Like I said, they want to condemn me. Even though I'm out of prison, even though, you know, they felt like I was wrong in this case, I feel like, hey, I was totally justified for what I did. Because this chick put her hands on me 3 different times. And every time I would call my auntie or I would call my uncle, you know what I'm saying, because they're the overseers of this house. So I would call them and be like, hey, man, y'all gonna come over here and talk to this girl and tell this girl to keep her hands off me. Or something's gonna happen. And, you know, they never stepped up. So that's why I don't even fuck with my family right now. Like, because I feel like they sent me to prison. Like, you guys knew what was going on in this house, but no one came and stood up and said anything. Me personally, you know, I love being free. I don't want to be in jail. I don't want to be in prison. You know what I mean? I love being out here. I got 4 kids, so I love being interacting with these kids of mine. And with that being said, I can't do shit for these kids when I'm in prison. Like right now, I'm on a 2-month suspension right now. So that means I ain't going to be able to fight for 2 months, because this weekend in Hawaii, I got TK'd. I think the fight was stopped too early. The ref felt like he did a great job. I say, let me go out, you know. If you feel that I'm out, I can take some damage. I can take some punishment. Let me go out, man. But I don't know. I think it was just, I don't know.
Okay, so you had so that's what you were doing in Hawaii then. I thought you were just out there enjoying the sand and the surf, but you were out there for competition. You had a fight. I was not aware of that. So the fight.
Yes.
Okay. So what organization was that?
That was X1.
Okay.
X1.
How was the crowd? Did they have a good turnout?
Good turnout. Good producer, promoter. I mean, they actually. From the first time I went out to Hawaii, it was a different rodeo this trip, you know, because the first time I went out, I fought Jonathan Von Zeste or some shit. These guys are these hard names to pronounce. But, yeah, with that being said, yeah, I went out there and I fought him, and the fight didn't go according to plan, because I felt like I won the fight. I had 3 takedowns, and the stand-up was pretty much even, you know? So I felt like I won that fight, but they gave it to the local boy. And, yeah, well, the promoter, his name was Jay. This dude left me at the hotel. I had to pay my own way, get my own cab back to the airport, and this all kind of shit. And then, like, a week later, when I get back into Ocala, Florida, I'm tagged in this post where his mom is on there talking shit about him. It's like, listen, man, I'm the cheapest fighter you can ever meet. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like I'm out here asking for you guys to give me $100,000 for a fight. You know what I mean? So, therefore, don't sit here and try to make it seem like I'm the bad guy when I called your son to tell him that these people was trying to make us check out the room. We didn't have a ride to the airport and so and so and so. And, hey, as a promoter, your sole responsibility is to get, if I come there, you're supposed to get me back to where I'm supposed to be going. But none of that didn't happen. So, yeah, you know, and I don't mind talking shit to anyone because I'm not afraid of nobody. So, if you're going to disrespect me, I'm going to try to disrespect you in the highest form. And that's just me.
So, okay, a lot of information there. One thing that I want to ask you about, so I understand what you're saying about that people would steer away from you because of your criminal record. What surprised me when you said that was that you're having issues in Japan. Generally, once you get through that one time, once you're given that one opportunity, that means, okay, all is forgiven and you're given your second chance. So now even Japan, who's used you multiple times, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times, I got to be close somewhere in there. I mean, you've been there a lot now. Now they're saying, hey, we don't know about this criminal. Is that because they didn't know about it before and they were surprised with this, or they've just had second thoughts?
I really don't know, because nobody won't tell me shit. All they tell me is, yeah, your visa was denied, and you can try back in 6 months. And if you try back in 6 months, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be denied then. So, yeah, you're...
Okay, that's so this wasn't the organization. This was actually the country of Japan, the government. Is that's what's keeping you out, is actually being able to get an airplane and put your feet on the soil? Am I understanding that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. I mean, that is a tough spot. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, Chair, you don't have to be sorry unless you... Chair, you got a criminal record. You ever been in trouble? I'm just saying, jaywalking. If you've been to jail for jaywalking, it's okay. But if you ain't been to jail for shit, jail, yeah, you should be sorry.
Well, I am a little bit sorry. I mean, I really am that you were trying to get back on track and that you're having some problems. I mean that. But, okay, well, that was a lot. I'm processing a lot there. And I'm also wondering how to handle this from a responsibility standpoint. You have the right to tell your story in your words. I also have a responsibility to the listener, because some of those words were... perhaps something they were not expected to hear today. So I'm trying to process multiple things right now and how much of this we can release. But again, you do have the right to tell your story in your words, and you did.
What do you mean? When you say process and release, what do you mean? Like, did I say something bad? Like the N-word? It's not like you're saying it, Chell. It's okay. You're not saying the N-word.
Is that the rule on that? Yes, that's what I'm processing. I'm not sure. Is that how that works? Because I didn't say it? Don't I have a responsibility? I mean, to the listener? Yes, the N-word is specifically what I'm speaking about. It made me a little uneasy.
Hey, everyone. It's former WWE host Lillian Garcia. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how your favorite stars make it to the big time? Then come check out my new show, Chasing Glory, with Lillian Garcia on podcastone.com. Hear me chat with some of your favorite athletes and entertainers about their rise to the top. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring. So join me for new episodes every Monday on podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Let's redirect this conversation with a new question.
Okay, dear.
All right.
Okay,
so,
dear.
What is your background? Like, when I watch you fight, I would assume that you wrestled growing up. You've got a very good double leg. You've also got very good defense for it. Am I right about that? I mean, you said you were homeless and on the street. Some of the stuff I didn't know, and I'm very sorry to hear for some of your challenges you had. But am I right about that? You must have been a high school wrestler.
Nah, you know what? My high school coach, I think he was prejudiced. So I didn't get to wrestle in high school. I didn't get to wrestle anywhere but on the streets. And when I tried to wrestle in high school, he was like, no, man, your wrestling is too wild.
Too rough.
He said. Too wild.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of different. But yeah, that's what I was told. But on the streets, it was like I said, growing up, man, chill. When I was growing up, man, I didn't have my brothers and sisters. See, I got 11. Well, I got 10 now because one of my brothers just died. So I got 10. It's 10 of us now. But when I was growing up, man, I didn't get to grow up with any of my siblings. You know what I'm saying? I was the second kid, but I didn't get to grow up with any of my siblings. And, like, each set of my siblings got to grow up with somebody, you know what I'm saying, one of their siblings, but except me, you know? So the way that goes is, okay, say, like, my brothers that sent me to prison, they two boys, they grew up in the same household. My two sisters, my baby sister, and the sister that's older than me, they grew up in the same household. You know, so my two brothers and sisters, they grew up in a foster home in Tampa. They grew up in the same household. So everybody pretty much grew up in a household with a sibling except for me and another brother that I know of and my baby sister, my younger sister. So, yeah, man, it's
so
a different life.
So I'll ask you this. So if your background wasn't as formal as most, when you got into professional fighting, and here's what's interesting. Where do you train when you have a fight coming up? Because one thing I've noticed, and you even brought this up in your previous fight, not this one this weekend, but your last one with Jonathan, you know, it goes 15 minutes, and I've never seen you fade. I always see you in great shape. Your body looks good. Your energy's good. So I know you're training somewhere. Where is your official gym?
You know what? I don't have a gym, Chael. And to be honest, like, I'm training up in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach at Fitness Edge. That's where I go train now. But before, man, I wasn't training anywhere, Chael. I was, you call me up, tell me I had a fight, going to fight. Like, there's no training. There's no running. There's no exercise. You know what I'm doing? I'm sitting home in my rented apartment that I pay $550 a month for and struggle to pay the $550. Like, how am I going to pay this $550 this month type shit? You know what I mean? And I smoke weed, and I have my kids come over, and we play, and I send them back to their mom, and I sit here and I smoke weed, and then you call me and have a fight. But I'm tired of losing these fights, man. So losing these fights, I have to figure out what is going on in my life that I'm losing these fights.
Well wait a minute. Wait a minute, we might have just figured it out. You said you're not training, you're sitting home smoking weed. Perhaps we did just figure it out.
I've been going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, training up there, staying with Tamar Washington. And, yeah, I be going to Fitness Edge and shit. So, you know, and since I've been doing this, it's like, yeah, I feel different. Like, when I fought this weekend, I got caught, but at the same time, leaving out of that first round, I felt my cardio was way better than any previous fight that I've had. Like, it was way better. I was really prepared, and it took like possibly 2 weeks for this fight, you know. And I actually every day, Tamar Washington would take me to the gym, and you know what I'm saying. And I'm talking about last day, I'm in that bitch 3-4 hours a day, every day. I'm in that 3-4. So yeah, training is what it is. You know what I'm saying. Not only that, you know, these organizations, I know I'm better than a lot of these guys, Chael. Like at 145, 155, I'm a very, very powerful, strong guy. You know what I mean? Like, and everything is, you know, I haven't been training like a lot of these guys train every day, 20, You know what I'm saying? Hours, a week, or however they do it. You know, I'm not that guy. I'm trying to be that guy now because I know I can beat a lot of these guys. It's just now I'm figuring out how. And I already figured that out. Go train, get that cardio up, and you can go and shit up.
Okay. Hey, I don't see why not. I really don't. There's no question about the potential. I assumed you were trained. You do have very good wrestling, offense and defense, and you do have natural cardio. So this does surprise me on many levels that you're not in a gym somewhere. And then even when I met you, you were Jake Shields. And I thought, well, maybe he's training with Jake a little bit. That was just the assumption I made. Fair assumption, since you guys were hanging out together. But you told me some stuff here I didn't know.
Actually, I was with Nick and Nate Diaz out there for that fight. And see, that's the thing. I talked to Nick, right? I talked to Nick, and he's like, yeah, come on out to my brother's fight, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, being that I've been in this MMA sport for 18 years, Chael, 18 years. And right to this day, I struggle to pay $550 in rent and keep my lights on in my apartment. But it's okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm still healthy, I'm still breathing, and I look forward to better things. I know I'm greater than a lot of these guys. So that being said, yeah, I went out there, and the way I got out there, I promised some guys that, hey, I would get them to meet Nick and Nate if they bought my plane ticket. And it was like, yeah. So, you know, they bought my plane ticket, and all three of us went out there and met Nick and Nate for that fight. That's when I ran into you, you know? But, even then, though, Chael, I always wanted to meet you because when all this shit blew up about Candy Lane and me knocking him out, nobody believed it, Chael. Nobody believed it. And my brother AJ, like I said, he hit me up. He's like, man, you got to go on YouTube and at some minutes, listen to what Chael says about you. So I go on YouTube and just to show Chael's like, and Candy Lane, you ain't never had a fight in your life. You had one fight, and it was against Felony Charles Bennett, but you ain't say Felony. You said that other name. You know what I'm saying?
I'm working. Hey, I got the name down now.
Yeah, I see that, because you just said Felony. You did just say, and it's Felony Charles Bennett, Chael. Felony Charles Bennett. No crazy horse, no horse, no nothing about shit of that name. You know?
I've got it now.
Yeah, because I mean, I've been running with Felony. And the reason being, Chael, is because, again, I went to prison for 3 years. I shouldn't have went because it wasn't my fault. I didn't incite nothing. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? How do you say that? Instigate nothing. I didn't do shit, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to continue to let someone put their hands on me. There's a video out there right now that says, and this video was made probably way back in 2001, 2000. I'll fight anybody, man, woman, if you put your hands on me. All you got to do is put your hands on me. I'm not going to put my hands on you because for what? You know what I'm saying? I'm a professional fighter, so I already know I can whoop you. Anyone on these streets that's average, I'm going to murk you. So I'm not going to put my hands on you. I'm not a bully. I don't like bullies, so I'm not going to put my hands on you. But please don't cross that line and feel like because you're a man or you're a woman and I'm a professional MMA fighter that you can put your hands on me and I'm going to restrain myself. No, what's going to happen is you're going to be warned a few times, but if you keep doing it, then we're going to have an issue. So I don't want any trouble. That's what I don't. I like being free. I like being out here on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Chill, I see you in the Bellator, man. You know, my Instagram is popping. I got like 13,000 followers on Instagram. You should follow me on Instagram, Chael. But the thing of it is, everyone's been talking about Bellator. I should try to get into Bellator. Now, Chael, you work for Bellator. And you're a very outspoken, colorful guy. Give it a chance, Chael. Hello?
Oh, I'm here.
Hello? You there?
No, I didn't lose you, man. Okay, you want a phone call made on your behalf. No, I'm here. I didn't hang up on you.
Yeah, no, we're shit, chill. Like, I mean, listen, chill. This is how it goes, man. All I'm asking for is a chance, man. Okay, I'm on a 5-fight losing streak. Everyone knows that I'm a dangerous opponent for anyone. Now, I'm actually training, and that's the thing about it. I really do. I just got back into Florida 2 days ago, but Sunday I'll be back in Myrtle Beach because I had to come to Florida, pay my rent off, and give my baby mama some money for school clothes and my son's birthday. And now I got $165 to my name. I'm going to borrow a few dollars from somebody so I can get on this bus and go back to Myrtle Beach and start training. But the thing of it is, all I'm asking for is a chance. Like, you want me to tone it down? You want me to stop using the N-word? I can do all that. Cut that check, though. That's all I'm saying. Let me tell my story to the world. It's a fascinating story. You know what I'm saying? Use me, let me use you. You know, people want to hear what I got to say because, real shit, I came from the trenches. You know what I'm saying? It's been rough for me. It's been real rough for me. And, damn, the UFC don't want to use it, but yeah, y'all saying, hey, y'all giving all these people. And I've seen a few people that's been arrested, and like John Jones and, you know, Ronda Rousey and, you know, a few big names out there, you know. Y'all gave them chances. Give me a chance. I know my record is a little tainted, but just give me a chance. Let me show you guys that even though I made a few bad mistakes in life, two bad choices, all I want to do now is get money, take care of these kids. I don't want to be in no trouble with the law. I ain't trying. Man, listen. If you talk about doing dumb shit, I'm going the other way. I ain't got time for it.
Let me ask you this. As a fighter and as a, I presume, a fan of the sport, are you excited for the big box off next week, Conor versus Floyd?
I think it's a joke, to be honest with you. I haven't been following it. You know, I just feel like this. A lot of these guys, give credit where credit is due, you know. So, with that being said, like, if you notice the press conference, those was unusual press conferences. You've never had a press conference like that ever before, and all this and all that. So, yeah, I probably will watch it when it's free or when it comes down my news feed, but I'm not going to take out my day to go watch the fight.
When you know, say that it's a joke, I presume, I take that as Floyd wins this thing. Is that right, that Conor doesn't have a chance? Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes. I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It's money, though. It's generating a lot of money, so that's what it is. But I don't really care about it because, shit, it ain't putting no money in my pocket. I've been in this sport 18 years. I'm struggling to pay my rent. Like, don't forget the little guy that made this sport important as well, you know, with the backflips off the cage and the shit talking. You get what I'm saying? Like, the getting people wanted to see what this sport was about. I'm one of those guys. So give me my chance. Let me shine like everyone else. You know what I'm saying? I promise you won't be disappointed.
All right. Hey,
but
do you have anything else you want to get off your chest?
Nah, chill, man. That's it, man. I ain't got nothing else. I'm answering the questions, but I'm the redirecting. Hey, man, just give me a chance, chill, because I know you work for Bellator, and I was happy when my brother AJ told me, yeah, that's the real chill song. I was like, yeah, for real? And then, you know, you never messaged me back. So I was like, oh, I don't know, because I'm not in Hawaii now, so he don't want to talk to me. But I thought we was going to be, like, on a video chat or something, because I was going to just wait until I got back to training camp. Yeah, I want you guys to meet my training partners.
All right, well, we'll have to do this again sometime, and we'll do it on video. I appreciate your time. Get back on track, my man, and thank you for coming on and telling your story.
Hey, Chill, you never answered my question, though.
What was it?
Man, hey, I know you work for Bellator.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you did, and I didn't address it. I will happily make a call on your behalf. I think we need to make a deal, though. You got to get in the gym, all right? I don't think that's too much for me to ask. And, you know, maybe a little less on the weed. What do you think? What do you think? Let's not get into Bellator and then fail a drug test. Let's not do that. But I think as far as you're asking, that a guy's given opportunity, if you're taking a little bit more serious, I mean, in fairness, let's get in the gym.
Okay. All right. Then, Chill, the number that you called me from, is that your number?
Yes.
Your cell phone number.
That is my cell phone. Please don't give it out. I have it at all times. If you ever need me, call or text, I do answer.
Hey, listen, okay, I didn't know if this was you, Chell, so the number that I gave you ain't my number neither. But I'm going to call you off my number, Chell, because I don't want everybody having my number neither, Chell. That's why I gave you a bogus-ass number. But it rung my phone, and we're talking right now, so I'm going to call you off my number, because, like I said, it's crazy people out there, Chell, you know what I'm saying? And I said, there's crazy people out there, man. People pretend to be people all the time, and that's how they get people numbers. You get what I'm saying?
That is true. That is true. There's a lot of imposters.
Chill, I mean, I think I'm famous just as well as you are famous.
You certainly are.
You're way more famous than I am, but still, there's crazy people over on my famous team, too. So.
Famous team. All right. I believe it. I'm hanging up the phone now, but I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Felony Charles Bennett. Cool. Oh, did you hang up on him? Huh? You didn't get... Huh? You just closed it off? Well, thank you. All right. What do we do with that? I am a little bit stuck because there was some language in there that was frankly a little bit uncomfortable. He does have the right to tell his story in his words. He is an adult. However, not everybody that listens to this show is. And even the adults who listened, there was some stuff in there. There was some stuff in there, and I got to leave it at that. Now, I want to get into something with the fans. That was interesting for me. I mean, that really was interesting. Again, let's let the language go. I mean, there it was. I didn't know he had that kind of a background. I was surprised that he was struggling. I was also surprised that he's not in the gym and training. I kind of want to go, hey, wait a second here. I think I see the screw that's loose. I think maybe we could tighten this if you're going to do this. Very reasonable to start doing it professionally. Handling it professionally. Don't just get paid to go out and fight. But I learned some stuff there, man. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. I'm a little thrown. Are you? I see you. You haven't said a word. You're nodding to me, but you're in the same spot as I am, right, Justin? I mean, that was perhaps the most bizarre thing that's ever happened in the history of the show. And I don't think that comes with the exaggeration. So, okay, let's regroup, but I will tell you this. I'll switch gears. How about that? How about we just get it? What's the expression Mark Twain said? When you're in a hole, quit digging. So let's change gears. Yesterday, press conference, Dana White, breaking news. The Nevada State Athletic Commission changed the glove size for Conor versus Floyd to 8-ounce gloves. Couple of thoughts on this. Let's rewind to about 10 days ago when Floyd Mayweather called for this via Instagram. I took that as gamesmanship. I think all of you did too. None of us thought that he would want smaller gloves. I think you guys did too. I don't think I was the only one that thought this was a little social media back and forth. Remind you of the press conference at one point, Floyd says to Conor, why don't we just do winner take all? At which point, Conor says, great, send over the contract. Now, of course they didn't mean that. Sure they didn't. And Floyd wasn't going to do that either. He wasn't going to take all of Conor's money. Conor damn sure wasn't going to risk it all. Why should he? Why should either one of them do that? So I chalked the gloves up to the same thing. I didn't think much more of it than that. All of a sudden, there's going to be a hearing and they're really going to ask for this glove change. And the reason that I thought it was gamesmanship, I don't know who it favors. I would think that favors Connor. I don't think that it favors him enough to change the betting lines, but it did just that. It moved it from 5.5 to 1 to 3.5 to 1. In 1 hour, it moved it from 5.5 to 1 to 4.5 to 1. The stock market doesn't change that quickly. When there was talks of us in North Korea getting in to it, the stock market did not change that quickly. So it was very relevant to a lot of people. It's relevant to me, too. I don't know if it makes the world's biggest difference, but it definitely does favor someone. The question is who? And I think that it would be Connor. I think you're coming down closer to Connor's world, to what Connor's used to. So I was very surprised that Floyd asked for it. And just before the hearing, we saw a letter from the Ringside, from the Association of Ringside Physicians, a group that I did not know existed. And they protested the change, but they protested it for very good reason. They said, unless this makes the fight safer, then we don't see any reason to do it. Well, that's a very mature stance by these guys. And I took that, a little conspiracy theory, but I thought, well, okay, somebody reached out to them to send the letter to make sure this rule doesn't change and we just have a little hype and marketing behind it. Everything's going to move on. Not what happened. Nevada State Athletic Commission said, yeah, they want 8-ounce gloves, do the 8-ounce gloves. Benefit to Floyd in this way. Floyd hits harder than Connor, regardless of what you guys believe you've seen, because Connor's knocking guys down and Floyd isn't. It's a totally different focus group. Connor's throwing those punches at guys that are not as skilled at dealing with them. Floyd punch much harder. That's the benefit to Floyd. However, and this is tremendous, as a guy that does both, I can just tell you, do MMA, go in and do the boxing as well. Those boxing gloves, they really help for defense. The positions you can put your hands, use what we call a shoulder block, use what we call a pole. You can get away with that stuff with the boxing glove. The defense, Rampage uses this a lot. He uses a very traditional boxing defense. You've seen him do it where he puts his hand, like the palm of his hand, almost to his ear, and that's how he blocks the hook. You don't see a lot of that in MMA. Rampage does it. I know you guys know him, so I use him as an example. You don't see a lot of that in MMA. That's a boxing defense. Because in MMA, you have the small glove. So when you throw that up to your ear, you're really not that protected. In boxing, that 16-ounce pillow will cover your entire head. Throw that up to your ear, it covers your cheekbones, your ear, your temple, side of your head, just covers everything. So defensively, this does not favor Floyd, but he asked for it. He's a defensive fighter. Defense is paramount to him. I also don't know if he fully knows what he got into. And the reason I say that is Floyd does not spar in 8-ounce gloves. He has never been in the ring in 8-ounce gloves. He's now got a week and a day. That's just not a lot of time for this different glove size. Again, personalize this. I can tell you, when I go into a boxing room and put on boxing gloves, I can hit that guy a little easier. Only about a half of an inch, maybe a quarter inch. But all of a sudden, my range is a quarter inch closer. And guys, it doesn't matter if it's a millimeter. If it misses, it misses, and if it lands, it lands. So you can talk about a half inch and that isn't much. I agree with you, it's not, but it is the difference. What's the old expression? Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades? Well, it's true. Throw a perfect punch. I throw a knockout punch. It doesn't matter if I miss the guy by a foot or if I miss the guy by a millimeter. It's a miss. And Floyd just doesn't have the experience in those, even in the gym. I assure you, you know, one thing about the gym, those boxing guys, they spar much harder than we do in MMA. One of the differences, they wear bigger gloves, like 18-ounce, for example, way bigger than you'd fight in. Never smaller than 16. Never, never, never would it be smaller than 16, but up to 18. And they have the headgear. So they're a little more protected. So Floyd's not doing that. That's the relevance of the story. He's not in the gym in these gloves. Never, no way. Neither are his partners. So he's not used to seeing those punches cut him at him. a boxing session with a bigger glove on, you can see those punches a little better. It's only a little. I don't want to make as big a deal about this as other people are, and I don't want to make as big a deal about this as the gamblers are. I don't see it as that kind of an advantage. But I do see it as an advantage, and I see it as an advantage favoring Connor and a disadvantage defensively, which is the style, for Floyd. But Floyd asked for it. You know, the other part of this story, when these guys sat down and did negotiations, this wasn't as simple as Dana walking over to Floyd's house, walking over to Floyd's office, coming in, and saying, okay, here's the money, here's the opponent, here's the weight class. In MMA, it would be as simple as that. Here's your purse. Here's the date. Here's the weight class. It wasn't as simple. They broke all sorts of stuff down. There was all sorts of negotiations back and forth and stuff that MMA people go, that's crazy. But in the world of boxing, that's just kind of how it's done. And one of those points, one of those subsections to the contract was very heavy into the gloves. 10-ounce gloves. No horsehair-made gloves, no Mexican-made gloves. So they thought this through. I don't know what horsehair, I wouldn't know a horsehair glove from a plastic-made glove. I wouldn't know an Italian-made glove from a Mexican-made glove. But they do. That is what they do, and it was a big enough point to them to bring it up, negotiate it, and get it in writing, signed, dated, and notarized by both sides. It was a big deal to Floyd's camp. Fine. No problem. But then Floyd changed the deal and said, I want to go in 8 ounces. And that is interesting. That is relevant, and I would love to know why. I don't know the why, but I do know what I'm suggesting for you guys is accurate. I know he does not spar in 8-ounce gloves. I know his partners do not spar with him in 8-ounce gloves. That's fact. So I don't know what advantage he thought he would have. I don't know. I know he's a smart guy when it comes to it. I know he's not going to do anything. You know, people want to talk about, well, okay, well, Connor's coming to fight you. Are you then going to go to MMA? He doesn't even entertain it. No, I'm not going to MMA. No, this is what I do. This specifically is what I do. I'll take on anybody else in the world that thinks they're better than me at this. And the this isn't as simple as Western boxing under the Queensberry rules. It also does come down to weight. It does come down to rounds. With Floyd, it does come down to venue. He likes to fight in Las Vegas. But it also comes down to glove size. And that was really exposed to us by the contract negotiations that were revealed during the second stop of the press tour. Connor brought it up. He's the one that said no horsehair made gloves, no Mexican made gloves, 10 ounce specifically. Said, I don't care. I didn't dispute any of it. Give me a mouthpiece. I'm good to go. And he's right. He's telling the truth. That wasn't tough talk. That's just how MMA works. Don't put any thought into that. We fight in 4-ounce gloves, but if they handed me 6 ounces or 3 ounces, I wouldn't have the foggiest idea. You get in the locker room, the commissioner hands you the gloves, you put them on your hands. No more thought to it than that. For boxing guys, that might surprise you. That might go, well, hey, that's irresponsible. That's unprofessional. You should give some thought to the gloves. Maybe you should. I'm not weighing in on that one way or the other. I'm just telling you, for MMA, we don't. From the small shows to the biggest ones, you don't think twice. Don't think about it. You have the right under the rules, this might surprise you guys, under the rules, and MMA has this too, that the opposing corner can send in one representative to watch you tape your hands. In boxing, they always do it. Always. In MMA, you have that same statutory right. I've never had it done to me, and I've never done it to another guy. Clayton has never gone in and watched Anderson or Vandalay or go through the, never watched an opponent wrap his hands, but they've also never sent anybody over to our locker room. So in boxing, the relevance is, you know, in boxing, it is different. It is a bigger deal. And culturally and historically, it's the way it's done. Very big emphasis put on how you're going to wrap your hands, where the tape is allowed to go. Does it stop at the knuckles? Can it come over the knuckles? Very big emphasis. Monitored by the commission. And watched by a representative of the opposing corner. So this was not a light decision. This was not done in the spirit of hail fellow, well met. This was not done in the spirit of bravery or courage or anything else by Floyd. Floyd sees something. Floyd's team sees something and they wanted it changed. And it got changed. And with all the evidence I have, which isn't a lot, in fairness, I don't have a lot, do I? But all the evidence that I do have, I think he made a mistake. I don't think he made a fight-changing mistake, but I do think he made a mistake. And I don't understand it. And unless he is planning to come out like a Floyd we haven't seen in a meaningful period of time and not be the defensive master, but go on the offense, believe that he can get to the punch first, believe that he can make Connor react to him. And I think he does have those skills. I think he can do that. But why you would come into a fight of this magnitude with a different strategy than the one that you've implemented over the last decade plus, I'm going back to 2005. God, we're in 2017. It's a decade plus 2 years. It surprises me. I think that's all it does to me. I don't think I'm having the same effect as some guys, but it does surprise me. Because I think it's a miss. I think it's a miss by Floyd. All right, guys. A&E's Emmy nominated groundbreaking docuseries, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, has returned for season two. New episodes can be found on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock and only on A&E. Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, follows Leah Remini along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members as they delve deep into the shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who have left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. This season, Leah Remini continues her quest to give a voice to victims of the Church of Scientology. The series also explores accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices. Remini is helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters, revealing truth, and seeking justice. Catch up on episodes on the A&E app and at aetv.com. Guys, also, if you want to see this, personal note from me to you, because I did. If you want to see the first season and you happen to miss it, you can also find that on demand and at the A&E app. Very compelling. What is that? Oh, that's my phone. Hey, you know what? That does that every time I talk about Leah Remini and the Church of Scientology. There's something I say that activates Siri, and I don't know what it is. Every time, never missed. Never one time have I done that read. And Siri doesn't kick on. I thought that was your... You know, you're awfully quiet. Crazy Horse make you a little uncomfortable? I'm a little uncomfortable with it, too. All right, guys. Enjoy your weekend. We are a week and a day away. We are a week and a day away from the biggest event in combat of my lifetime. Of my lifetime. And of yours as well. Until next Wednesday... I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.